SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com, a absolutely gorgeous, delightful, upstate New York morning, and of course, on the heels of Triple Crown, the season and an actual accomplishment of the sequence. I was looking forward to getting back here to the homestead. And it didn't take long. Tina had me digging a couple of holes in the gardens and side of the house, the front of the, she it took her about 8 minutes when she came home yesterday from school. Do you want to go pick up? Let's go get a new plant for the front. Okay. So. But I've got an escape plan. No sooner did we feel like we were settling in for a couple of weeks, and then we'll be looking forward actually to, as I always do at this time of year, looking forward to a week, maybe 8 days, something like that, 10 days, something off, ahead of Saratoga. News came yesterday after what really was a bit of an awkward, seemingly awkward delay, that Governor Murphy in New Jersey, yesterday afternoon, that he signed the bill authorizing sports betting in New Jersey. And there was all kinds of speculation when the thing landed on his desk after Trenton passed what elements they wanted involved. People were like, well, all right, he should sign it Friday. Oh, Saturday? It took until yesterday, and there had been speculation that there was some wrangling or some late negotiations maybe going on behind the scenes in the State House, but no. And with that signature, did you see the picture, by the way? Because I don't know if it's an actual picture of Murphy signing the legislation, but he's alone in his office. You would think there would have been some people around, and it would have been one of those ceremonial type things. But if that's the actual picture of him signing the bill, and his desk is very suspect. You should see my desk, and I'm not the governor of New Jersey. There was like nothing else on his desk. It's like, wait a minute, hey, come on, how is there not studies and this and highway plans and God knows what else. But on Thursday at 10:30, they'll throw, I don't know if there's a switch to throw, but 10:30 on Thursday, and we're not sure yet if it's the governor that's going to make the first bet or Ray Lesniak or anybody, we're not sure who, but there's going to be a bet placed, and it'll start on Thursday. We're going to go down. I'm going to go down tomorrow afternoon to Monmouth, and we'll broadcast from Monmouth Park on Thursday. It's irresistible, and we've spent too much time, certainly by the time Haskell rolls around, we'll look forward to going down to Monmouth for Haskell coverage. Usually the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up, but at that point things will be in full swing. And I think it's pretty historic and pretty special, and you know, obviously couldn't be. I mean, the Delaware was different because Delaware had their own grandfathered, you know, the parlay, the football parlay tickets and things. They had that in there, and they were one of those four states that had some provisions. This is different, and Monmouth and the commitment of Dennis Drazen and the Horsemen and everybody that made this monumental change in the gaming landscape in this country. And I really would like to be there. So we're going to be down in Monmouth on Thursday. So we'll broadcast from the William Hill. I checked with John Himes, and John says absolutely there's a connection that we need. And so we'll broadcast from the William Hill parlor at Monmouth Park on Thursday. And we may have to put down a little advance wager on the Eagles for night, maybe. We'll see. Looking forward to the structure, and we'll get some perspective and, you know, find out how, you know, because people have a ton of questions about, and obviously state by state, you're going to see different, a little nuance in the way it's established and what you can bet and what you can't bet and so forth. But one thing I did see, and there's, I told you about this terrific website, and I sent out their link. Matt Hegarty certainly covering it, of course, for DRF, but sportshandle.com has done a tremendous job. And they've got the legislation tracker, so you can keep tabs on your state and, you know, where things are in each individual, you know, jurisdiction. Pennsylvania and West Virginia getting close. New York very quietly moving forward. And each one is going to have their own, you know, set of circumstances. And it does feel like pretty much everywhere we've been following, Indiana, the racetracks will be involved as you know, as bet takers, and you know, the different alliances that are shaping up, and business partnerships. The way, I mean, nobody obviously was ahead of this more than Monmouth, making the deal with William Hill and putting a betting shop in place. So you'll get the bird's eye view on Thursday. We'll get everything, and a lot, you know, obviously a lot of recapping from the weekend. We'll also by tomorrow kind of been fleshed out. And speaking of that coverage, let's go back to Belmont, and plenty more to talk about today. We'll visit with Brad Cox, Monomoy girl. And she, you know, not only is she, I don't worry about the polling kinds of things, but it is notable that Monomoy girl, you know, getting votes as, you know, among the top 3-year-olds, and rightly so at this point. So we'll talk to Brad about, you know, his impressions and, you know, how he expects to go forward from here. Also want to find out, you know, High North, of course, scratching out of the easy goer, and we'll see what went on there, and plenty more to cover, of course, with Brad Cox. Louis Carvajal, and one of the wins from the weekend that just the breadth of the 3 days gets lost in the shuffle, Imperial Hint. So looking forward to talking to Louis Carvajal, and he's got to be very pleased with the return to full health and well-being of Imperial Hint. 103 buyer in the true north, and even more so than just having him back, the way in which he won. Go back and if you didn't see it live on Friday, go back and watch that True North, because Imperial Hint quite content to sit behind the speeds. And all that does is make him even more dangerous. If he's amenable to that, yikes. He becomes an even more dangerous weapon if he can, you know, sit and relax and sit behind horses. That's a new dimension to Imperial Hint. And, you know, also, by the way, very quietly in there, Whitmore ran very well. There's a couple of horses, you know, that did pull up, and we got to get some updates. Make sure everybody's okay. I haven't had a chance to do that yet in all the usual postscript that comes. And of course, yesterday we got to talk about for those of you that may be still listening from the replay, and plenty of consternation over Andy Beyer and the way Andy characterized Justify's Triple Crown success. And I tried to mollify some people with an explanation or a smoothing off of Andy's rather hard-edged response. Some people thought that he was criticizing Justify and dumping. That's not what he was doing. And in fact, he went so far as to specifically say he fully expects Justify to do the kinds of things that the other good 3-year-olds have done the last few years, which is, you know, attain the kinds of performance levels, you know, based on figures, and figures aren't the end all and be all, but they are the best tool. I mean, they are. I mean, track records are a little fickle. So I think Andy was just, you know, was basically saying that the way in which the sophomore seasons are managed these days are setting a certain course that by which the current era's classic winners have generally fallen short. You know, using the figure metric, you know, as the measuring stick, you know, that it used to be, you know, high hundreds and low teens that would win these races. And he particularly singled out the Belmont, which it didn't take, you know, Justify on Saturday, you know, for people to understand that the Belmont is unusual and anachronistic in terms of the 12 furlongs. You know, and only a certain group of horses among the handicap set, you know, go on and continue to race that kind of distance. Obviously the Brooklyn. But all Andy was saying was the way in which we campaign now is with the 3-year-olds, that the classics, the horses aren't in the same development pattern or the place on the graphing that they have been historically, and a lot of that is number of starts and career arcs. That's all that is. Because Andy, as Andy said, you know, California Chrome and Arrogate and Gunrunner and all these other three-year-olds, you know, that were posting solid figures. That they all later in the year and into their four-year-old years, they got to the same level that the greats of, you know, the quote-unquote great types that won classics in the fairly recent history. I mean, when you're talking about a race that's been run 150 times, Belmont, and 144 Derbies and 143 Preaknesses, you know, the recent past. Here, let me reach down to the... Here. Here's an American Racing Manual right here by me. And if you... Let's see. We'll go to... Here. We'll go to Belmont Stakes. And... We'll compare. Or give you a feel. There we go. All right. Since the era of public recorded buyer figures, Go and Go actually kicks it off. The first three buyer era figures that won the Belmont were 111s. Go and Go, Hansel, and AP Indy. Colonial Fair got a 104. Tabasco Cat, a 106. Thunder Gulch, a 101. Same figure as Justify. 106 for Editor's Note. Then a couple of 110s back-to-back. Two terrific performances, Touch Gold and Victory Gallop. LDK, Lemon Drop Kid, a 109. Commendable, who, let's be honest, isn't considered the greatest Belmont winner ever. Commendable, a 101 over Aptitude and Unshaded. Then a 114 by Point Given, and that's the highest number in recent past. So even if we use that era. You know, with teens. And Derby, the Derby's not dissimilar if you look at Derby figs. But Andy wasn't criticizing Justifies. He acknowledged the accomplishment and the circumstance that saw him win these six races in short order. Jay Pribman, who chronicled this as up close as it gets. We'll get Jay in at 10 o'clock. We'll get Jay's thoughts. Steve Asmussen in hour two as well. Gets his first Metropolitan Handicap. Big win for Mr. Fipke. And, of course, we mentioned yesterday, Sid. I'm looking forward to talking to Sid. There's quite a few conversations to have post Triple Crown season, including that discussion that's part of what Andy's talking about. But I find a certain storyline to be a little weird regarding the pedigree and the breeding portion. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Plenty to do today. Looking forward to it. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at expressbet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Listos.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back at the races.
Every time, just
in reference to what I was alluding to near the end there, coming to the break, I keep seeing these as part of this Triple Crown discussion. I didn't realize there was still a debate raging about changing the Triple Crown. The one theme that I keep seeing that it feels completely inaccurate at this hour is the people reiterating somehow that, you know, even though we're not running at a mile and a half on a regular basis or even a mile and a quarter on the dirt, and there was never really a steady diet of mile and a quarter and mile and a half races. Let's not pretend that was, you know, that every card in 50 years ago had a mile and a quarter or mile and a half race on it. I mean, that's a little strange to begin with. But how are people continuing to claim that the breeding industry is not breeding for stamina, when in fact we've discussed extensively, and in fact Sid has written about it and he can riff on it tomorrow, in addition to taking bows for B Jersey, there's all these grass turf sires that are getting chances at stud, and as Sid has explained to you for years, turf is synonymous with stamina. And then you look at the recent, you know, stallions that have gone to stud. And I mean, there's always going to be certain middle distance types that get their chance. you know, like a golden sense that comes to mind, for instance. But the most popular stallions right now, and the horses that are being sought out are, you know, Curlins, for instance. Uncle Mo, I guess, you know, Uncle Mo is an interesting case because we didn't really get to see him at full flower, but it you know, certainly anybody that has seen pictures of him now as a mature horse are stunned by how big he is and how, you know, the musculature and the, you know, the way he, you know, once he reached full, you know, full flower. But I just, you know, the most popular, you know, the Tappets, obviously. We just spent 21 days leading up to Belmont talking about how Tappet has had all this success, and Curlins in the Belmont. You know, virtually all the, you know, the fashionable, you know, first crop types and second crops, you know, they all were horses that were a mile and a 16th to a mile and an eighth and had those kinds of resumes that I find it odd that we keep saying, well, we're breeding for speed. No, I actually, who are they referring to about breeding for speed in this era? It's just not. I mean, you certainly, if you have a mare that was a, you know, not that didn't have brilliance. I mean, you could certainly reach for stallions that provide that. But I don't understand the repetition and the claim. Because when you look at the roster, stallion rosters, there's way more mile and above influencing stallions out there than anything else. Who are the speed stallions that are being so, you know, so employed that we're breeding for speed? So I'll let Sid address it tomorrow, because I find that it just doesn't, it's not true. It just, it's, you know, it's just like how the international bloodstock community doesn't want our bloodstock. There's another great lie. Very strange. So I saw that like a bunch of times over the last 72 hours. Obviously, also John White will be later, and Jeremy Plonk, and Baffert. Baffert did the Today Show yesterday, and then got on a plane. So that's why we couldn't get to Bob yesterday. And, you know, obviously the conversation, you know, continues to be out there regarding the way the riders approach the race, and we'll get some feedback there too. See what Jay says. Andy Serling tomorrow. Andy was up here at Saratoga last night, and then heading back today. So we'll talk to kind of flip flop to put Jay Pribman into the 10 o'clock slot today, and Andy will join us tomorrow. The speaking of international competition, the arrivals and the shippings are going on all over the place toward Royal Ascot next week. Starts a week from today. This is always, it's become very fun. I mean, since we became a morning show, I don't know, 8 years, 7 years ago. When did we go to the mornings, Kay? I noticed Facebook provided me with one of those moments, and it happened to be last year. It's around this time too that we went to the morning. It was like end of June, but one of the things that it gave us the chance to do is to take in a lot of the Royal Ascot standards, and it's a lot of fun. And it looks like there'll be 14 North American runners. Yeah, Case says 8 years. That feels right. Jackson is now 9. That's a little scary. Wesley Ward's going to send 10, and obviously the biggest name that we all know is Lady Aurelia, who really has struggled. It's been a bit of a struggle. She hasn't run terribly, but that juvenile brilliance that we saw when she won the Queen Mary and then came back to win the King Stand, she's winless since the King Stand. So Lady Aurelia, and that'll include her race is the King Stand again, and the presence in there of Bushero, kind of fun. And we've been watching the experiences coming from around London. And if you haven't seen what's been going on with Tim Gleishaw touring England, it's been rather entertaining as he waits for Bushero's arrival. Other non-Wesley Ward runners, Jiddu, the Frankel for Pletcher, and that Beckford who came to opening night at Churchill and was terrific, winning the William Walker. He's going back. Yoshida, as anticipated, and Marcus Hirsch is tracking the American runners. So you can catch up with it, DRF and Yoshida and the Queen Anne, which, of course, Tepin captured. And Marcus speculated that this is not, this is, potentially a spot where Yoshida could do okay, that he may be catching a, less than elite group of Euro miler types. So Bushero, Beckford, Jiddu, and Yoshida, and then 10 Wesley Wards. And the one that he singled out, Wesley, with Marcus, was Chelsea Cloysters. He had all those winners after day one of Keeneland last, back in April. And then turned around and obviously focused here. Stillwater Cove in the Albany. Shang 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 for the Norfolk. Our Passion, maybe Moonlight Romance in the Windsor Castle. And then some of the other older horses, Hemp Hemp Hooray back, and Master Mirian, Bound for Nowhere and Undrafted, all heading to Royal Ascot. So we got to get to Nick to Nick Luck maybe as early as Friday, maybe probably Friday. I mean, he's got bigger things to worry about than visiting with us, obviously, the week of. So I want to get out ahead of it with Nick. We're going to get out ahead of some conversations with connections like Brad Cox, Louis Carvajal, Steve Asmussen. Take the break here. Come back, and Brad Cox, I think, is going to join us first. Monomoy Girl. Obviously, Sol Cuban had a wonderful weekend, and being involved in Justify and all, but Monomoy Girl, particularly we'll get some updates from Brad Cox next at the races. Stay with us.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund direct deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I am a passenger.
We're back.
I am a passenger.
Waiting for Brad Cox, I just answered our friend Smokin' Joe McKay that parrying about Andy Byers' thoughts. And, you know, Andy's quite happy to play the curmudgeonly type in these discussions. Justify, yes, he was unraced at two. It doesn't mean, I just wrote it, Justify didn't show up on January 1st and in 6 weeks get whipped into being a racehorse. The horse had to be developed like any other horse that gets to the racetrack. They don't arrive at Brad Cox is joining us. Brad, has anybody ever delivered a horse to you that came in unbroken and hadn't any development?
Happened a couple times.
Yeah, a couple here and there.
No, there's always a horse that's probably not quite as well broke as the people at Senate think it is, or racetrack ready, I guess you'd say. But no,
there you go.
They're pretty well broke.
Well, no, we're debating, part of the way in which Justify's achievement is being perceived, and I'll you were watching. Get some thoughts from you too, and gonna focus first on your win on the Saturday card, and Monomoy Girl, who really by all rights is shouldered her way toward and in amongst even the boys when we talk about the three-year-olds, and congratulations to everybody involved. Another terrific performance from Monomoy Girl, winning the grade one Acorn. She's starting to pile up these grade ones.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks for having me this week. I'm very proud of what she's accomplished so far this year, and she's trained extremely well and done everything right. And just very, very proud of what she's been able to accomplish, and hopefully, moving forward, she's can knock a few more down there throughout the rest of the year.
After the Oaks, we talked, and you absolutely were focused on this race. It made perfect sense. However, the one-turn portion of any equation coming to Belmont versus two-turn routes, how do you typically approach it, and how does it either help development or in some cases hinder? You know, what are the challenges of going from the mile and an eighth to the one-turn mile?
I think it has a lot to do with what the horse is wanting to do. Each individual is obviously different, but I didn't think she would mind it at all. She'd only been around one turn in her life, and it was a really impressive race here in the Rags of Riches at Churchill last fall, so I was not scared. I didn't think that she would regress, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I really thought, I really think when it comes down to it, a mile is probably her thing, whether it's one turn, two turns. She showed the ability with every race this year to have a similar or different running style. So she can adapt. She's versatile. There's no doubt about that. One turn mile, I've kind of thought, pedigree-wise, I think that's what she's really cut out to be, as a miler, being Capizar out of a any used mare, and a mare that broke her maiden going short early on in her career. So, to look at her pedigree and think that she's a mile and an eighth or a mile and a quarter filly, that doesn't really, jump out at you looking at her page. And I know some people, thought going into the Oaks, thought that I'd heard that the mile and an eighth would be her undoing. I didn't really feel that. She can get the mile and an eighth, but chances are try it next time out, Saratoga, I think she can get it. But really, at the end of the day, I think, her best distance is a mile, mile and a 16th, two-turn, one-turn. I don't really think it matters, just as long as she's placed and ridden right, ridden properly, she'll get the distance for us.
There was, to some degree, knowing that she and in particular Talk Viv to me, they felt, the two of them felt, like the clear top players. Caledonia Road, who I kind of was looking to maybe get a behind the speed trip, and what ended up happening, the way in which Monomoy Girl relaxed, and maybe that was a benefit of coming out of the Oaks and the mile and the eighth, that she wasn't as sharp in terms of attending the pace, and the way in which she sat for Florent Giroux and answered the cue. Brad, you get the sense that she will continue to be very dangerous going back to a mile and an eighth, and then you're probably going to have to make a decision about trying the mile and a quarter in the Alabama.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it was a perfect placement by Florent. She was able, willing to do what he asked her to do. So, the race setup, the complexion of the race was in her favor, with those two fillies kind of on the lead. Moonshine Memories talked through to me, just kind of duking it out up front. She was able to set right behind him, and she was giving the filly some weight as well. I think 8 pounds to the filly that ran second, so that obviously played a role. But I don't think stretching back out to a mile and eighth would be that big a deal. And it's obviously one race at a time, and we'll just focus on the coaching club right now, and then we'll just see what happens there as far as moving forward to the Alabama or the Cotillion.
you know, after that. But I don't think a mile and make will bother Saratoga. Right now, I'm thinking we'll leave her here at Churchill. She flew back on Sunday to Churchill. She's here in good order. Looks great. Come out of the race fantastic. She'll go back to the track tomorrow. We thought about giving her an extra day off. Just the way she's acting around the barn, she wants to go out there and do something. So she'll get her opportunity tomorrow to train a little bit. And thinking right now, we'll just do most of the training here and maybe ship her up to Saratoga and give her one work over the main track there at Saratoga a week out before the coaching club.
Nice. And she continues to basically, much like Justify, develop a stranglehold on the three-year-old Philly Championship with this fourth straight win. She's perfect as a three-year-old and has done it, you know, convincingly too. And you know, even I should note, even the one loss, Road to Victory, came back over the weekend and won the stake up at Woodbine. So gets flattered every which way.
Yeah, no, that's always obviously, you know, could have some play in the 3L Philly division as the year moves on. She's a very nice Philly. She's the only Philly to defeat us, and she looks like she's on the comeback trail and got her feet underneath of her now. So she'll be a force to be reckoned with as the year moves on.
Yeah, Monomoy girl, and for Sal Cumin and the Monomoy portion and Michael Dubb and the Elkstone people and Mike Caruso, Bethlehem Stables, really enjoying this ride. And, of course, a big success for Liz Crow, who picked this filly out. And $100,000 yearling purchase, Monomoy Girl, racking it up and on her way to three-year-old championship. Let's touch on a couple of other things that went on, Brad. And early on the card, was expecting High North to participate, and give everybody the update on what happened that took him out of the easygoer.
Yeah, the morning of the race, he had a lot of heat in one of his feet, and was just a touch off. He had a little abscess that blew actually the next day, which would have been Sunday morning. So nothing major there at all with him, just a mild setback, and he'll probably miss another day or two of training. We'll continue to draw on his foot, and once he's sound, he'll go back to the track. But it's much better than it was. It's just you know, bad timing, and we'll look to point him for a stake here in the near future. But he like I said, very, very minor issue that he should be able to overcome pretty quick.
Well, and not to you know, not to say anything about Prince Lucky, who was a $30 winner, or Rugby Man. We talked yesterday about with Graham Motion, but after watching that easy goer, Brad, you had to feel like we missed an opportunity today.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the horse was doing extremely well, obviously, up until the morning of the race. And he's a nice colt, like I said several times. You know, we think a lot of him, and we do think he's great stake material. So hopefully he'll get to display that at some point through the summer.
Well, speaking of graded stake, I just heard from a mutual friend and Scott Pierce wants you to update everybody on Esmosh, considering that Scott and his wife Lena bred Esmosh, and you and I didn't talk after the win in Chicago.
Yeah, that colt's doing extremely well. He breezed easy this weekend at Churchill, and he's going to appoint him for the American Derby. I believe it's on July 7th at Arlington. So, you know, that's the next spot for him. He's, like I said, he's doing extremely well, coming out of the race in good shape. And, you know, he's dual surface. Right, as of right now, we'll just keep him on the turf. He seems to be doing his best running on the turf. So real happy with where he is right now, his training, his fitness, and how he looks. And hopefully he can, you know, duplicate effort of this Arlington Classic.
Very nice. Well, you know, we had a conversation yesterday with John Gunther, and we talked about a lot of his mares. Now, I think Tiger Moth, she was going to make that last run Derby weekend and then get bred. Did that? Is that how it turned out?
Well, she was bred, but she didn't take.
Really?
No. She's back in training. We actually shipped her to Belmont last week. She's back training. She was off for a little while, not too long. So we just put some miles back underneath of her and hopefully get her ready for the summer. Pick some spots and, try to increase her value with some more graded black type and graded state, hopefully continue. She's won two grade threes, so hopefully we can knock out a grade one or grade two before she's off to the breeding shed next winter. But she's doing well. She really is. She looks tremendous. She hung out over at Fenwood Farm for about a month, and our weight looks fantastic, and she's moving well. So hopefully we can get her feet, get some fitness back in her over the next month or so, and we'll be ready to run this summer.
Well, that's one of those phone calls that you get, and they say, Brad, I'm calling about Tiger Moth. She's not in foal, and you have to say to them, oh, I'm sorry to hear this. In the meantime, you're like, yeah, she's coming back.
She's been a really nice mare. She's very, very tough, and she's been training a good while. She's very, very sound, and she'll eventually be added to the broodmare band at Winwood. Obviously they've got a really nice broodmare band, and she'll be part of it.
I'm also thinking about a couple of others to touch on. Our friend Ed Kelly is part of the group on Sassy Sienna. Bring us up to date on Sassy.
She's doing really well. We're going to look at either the Indian Oaks or Iowa Oaks with her. She didn't miss a dance. I mean, she was learning every 3-4 weeks this winter. And after the Oaks, we sit down with the medallion racing and trying to host them and just kind of put a plan together and just said, didn't take her out of training or anything. She's got on a steady work schedule, and she's moving well. She's very, very sound, really, never missed a beat. I'm just going to point for, stakes throughout the Midwest, graded stakes, and once again, try to increase her value. But she's doing extremely well, really pleased with her, how she's moving and how she's training. And like I said, either the Iowa Oaks or the Indiana Oaks, we'll kind of target one of those.
You've got a unique positioning to be able to try to poach those kinds of races too, from Kentucky and then of course with Ellis around the corner and the options to come to New York and in a very well positioned.
Yeah, being here in Kentucky at Church and Lincoln, when it's centrally located, we can jump on a plane or a van, get to New York pretty quick, and just a van drive from Chicago, Indiana, Iowa, all those places. So it's a great location, especially with these fillies and trying to get graded black type on them.
Well, speaking of which, are you running in the Regret this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to come. Chances are, I think we're going to run Beyond Blame. She had a little bit of a troubled trip in the Edgewood on Oaks Day, but she's trained extremely well since. So we think a lot of, and I think with a clean trip, she'll shut off and relax. I think she'll be very effective in the Regret. I think it's going to be a big, good, competitive race, so hopefully we get a good trip, and hopefully she'll be tough.
How about the Wise Dan? Is Arklo headed there?
We're actually looking at Mr. Misunderstood for the Wise Dan. We're gonna give Arklo a little more ground to run over. We're going to look at the United Nations with him right now at the end of the month in Monmouth with the Arklo. I believe it's on the 30th of this month. So that's what we're kind of planning with Arklo and the Mr. Misunderstood up on the Wise Dan.
And what about anything for the Foster?
I have two that are kind of possibilities. It'll be Pioneer Spirit and Leo Fleck. We're just kind of waiting to see who's going to show up. And right now, they're possible. They're possible. That's the best way I'd describe it right now. We'll know more tomorrow morning when we have to enter.
Well, obviously, nice group to look forward to on this great Foster night. This has become really a highly anticipated card, even more so than it than it always was, and the turnout to see the Justified team, that'll make for a fun evening again. I was there for the Pharaoh festivities, and it really made for a unique, special atmosphere, and I'm sure it'll be reprised on Saturday. Some thoughts about, you had to hang around to saddle a horse, that Compass Zone in the 12th after the Belmont. Brad, your impressions of the way the Belmont was run?
Well, it was an exciting race. I mean, anytime there's a Triple Crown on the line, it was very, very exciting. I thought a couple different horses between Hoffberg and Gronkowski were making runs at him around the turn, and they straightened up. I thought they had a shot to catch him. And, you know, he held him off. He ran a tremendous race. I mean, he's definitely a champion and an all-time great, fantastic horse. And it was neat to be there and be a part of it. I was not there when American Pharoah won, but I was there when Smarty Jones was beaten by Birdstone. So, and I remember, you know, I know people are definitely there looking to see a Triple Crown winner, because that was like it was seemed like the crowd was pretty disappointed when Smarty Jones didn't get the job done in 2004. But no, it was an amazing accomplishment. He's an amazing horse. He's a monster, to say the least.
Well, I wanted to take advantage. You had a long day. You had a runner in the first, a runner in the 12th. You got a busy week, obviously, leading up to Foster Night. Let me ask you about a couple of horses that people might want to know about, including Friday, first-time starter, this 2-year-old Gator Vindication for Mr. Disney.
Yeah, this really was sent to us probably about a month and a half ago, and she's done everything right. Really excited about her. She's been working extremely well at Keeneland. Had a nice gate work last week. Actually, breezed yesterday morning, trying to beat some rain, and we worked her yesterday morning and worked extremely well. She's very small. I mean, she's not a big filly, but she's a now filly. I think we're going to see some better racing right now. Better, she's very precocious, and I think she'll make a good account of herself as long as she gets out of the gate well, going 5/8. I think she's fit enough, so she should run well. I'm excited about her.
Now that Ami's Vindication, that was a Disney runner, Bill White trained, and she was okay. She was a winner. I don't know if she was a stake winner, but she was all right. Talk about the two maidens you got today, Indiana. People may, Tuesday players, they want to.
Yeah. they're off the turf today at Indiana. So Jing is a scratch, but Sense of Bravery draws in. This is a big, good-looking strength facility that I believe was $180,000 yearling. And she's been training well. Ready. I think she's coming off the layoff. Obviously, it's her first start with us. She's ran a couple times in Canada last year, but she's doing well, and I think with a good trip today, she should be effective. I don't know if the track's going to dry it enough for the track to be fast, but they are, like I said, are off the turf, and she's entered main track only, so that's worked out to this point. So hopefully she makes a good account of herself.
Sense of Bravery, Street Sense, out of Brave Michelle, and considering the, you know, the proximity with you with Indiana, what's the latest? I've been sending up updates on Marlon St. Julian. Have you heard any recent updates?
No, other than he was doing really well. I heard that a couple days ago. So
good.
I heard he's doing, I think on social media, so he's doing pretty well. Or getting better, doing better.
Nice. So. All right. I've got the week in Belmont. a little hazy. In the meantime, another terrific Monomoy Girl performance, and Brad, good chance we talk next week based on what you're sending out this weekend, particularly Foster Night. Always great to connect. Continued success.
Thanks, Steve. Look forward to, hopefully we're talking next week.
There you go. Brad Cox, everybody, and Monomoy Girl, and more. You got some updates, and you got a little. We're not going to put the breaking news tag on it, but Tiger Moth, and I thought about mentioning her with the Broodmare Conversations with John Gunther, but 24 hours later, here we find out she's back in training.
didn't get pregnant. So you will see her again. And I'll let him know at Monmouth that Arklow's coming for the UN. Looking forward now. I'm excited about going. I don't know how happy when Tina comes home at school and I tell her, yeah, I'm going to go down to Monmouth. Yeah, I don't know if she's going to be thrilled, but we'll see. Jay Pridman's going to join us next, and we'll talk to Jay about the Triple Crown Odyssey that came to a successful conclusion for Justify on Saturday. Jay Pridman next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old calibred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.